give us this day is a devotional reflection upon the New Testament lesson appointed for the morning office from the Book of Common Prayer 1928. These devotionals are written and presented by Father Charles Erlinson, who serves at the Church of the Good Shepherd in Tyler, Texas. Father Charles' devotionals can be found both in print and online.
Today is Wednesday of the second Sunday after Easter. The lesson is taken from Hebrews chapter 7, verses 1 through 11.
For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the sons of God, abideth the priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily, they that are the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted, from them received tithes of Abraham, and blessed him that had the promises, and without contradiction the less is blessed of the better. And here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them, of whom it is witness that he liveth. And, as I may say so, Levi also, who receiveth tithes, paid tithes into Abraham. But he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek, and not be called after the order of Aaron?
Quick, who was the person in the Old Testament who was the closest to God? That was a question a Sunday school teacher of mine once asked. Some said Moses, some said David, and I think some said Abraham. Wanting to be different and not give the same answer as everyone else, I said Adam, knowing I was sure to draw some puzzled stares. Before he sinned, I clarified. I remember asking my dad during church that day how he would have answered the same question. I remember distinctly his answer, Melchizedek. Mel who? I said, laughing aloud in unbelief. What a ridiculous name. But sure enough, when he directed me to Hebrews chapter 7, there was Melchizedek, and he was indeed very close to God. Who is this mysterious man, Melchizedek? I won't repeat all the details about Melchizedek that the writer of Hebrews gives. I'm asking the question about who was he. Christian theologians have written about him a lot over the centuries, and there are some fascinating arguments made for just who he is. My favorite possibility is that Melchizedek is Noah's son Shem, the one who is especially blessed and the one from whom the Semites or Shemites, including Abraham, are descended. If Melchizedek were Shem, he would have been in his 500s when he met Abraham, and shortly after Melchizedek meets Abraham, God makes his covenant with Abraham in Genesis 15. Shem was 98 at the time of the flood and lived until he was 600. And his life would have overlapped with Abraham's for 150 years. If Melchizedek were Shem, and Abraham knew this, consider how much greater he might have considered Shem to be, who personally went all the way back to the covenant God made with Noah, and who would have been the only man alive, perhaps excepting Ham and Japheth, who had actually lived in antediluvian times. Knowing the respect that the patriarch of a family was given, we can only imagine the respect Abraham would have given his great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather. Another theory states that Melchizedek was a manifestation of the pre-incarnate Christ. Melchizedek is not only the priest of God Most High, but also the king of Salem or of Jerusalem, that is, the king of peace or prince of peace. And of course, Christ was both priest and king. Melchizedek was without father or mother, and without genealogy. He was made like the Son of God, and he remains a priest forever. How wonderful to think that Abraham might have seen Jesus Christ himself. This is so much fun that I wish I had more time to go into detail, but of these things we cannot now speak in detail. Unfortunately, I'm not sure I ultimately buy into either of the fascinating theories I just elaborated. If Melchizedek were Shem, why wouldn't he simply be called Shem, just three short chapters after the genealogy of Shem in Genesis 11? The fact is that we do know Shem's genealogy in great detail. According to Philip Edgecombe Hughes' classic commentary on Hebrews, the interpretation that Melchizedek was Shem was introduced by rabbinical scholars at the end of the 1st century AD as a way to counteract the high view of Christ of the writer of Hebrews. As far as the theory that Melchizedek was a pre-incarnate Christ, I'd like to believe that too, but I'm not sure I do. The fact is that Melchizedek is like the Son of God. This way of speaking about Christ, if Melchizedek were Christ, would, however, undermine the higher view of Christ of the writer of Hebrews, and our faith in him as the Son of God, and not merely one like him. Jesus Christ, who is a man, did have a genealogy and mother and father. In fact, he has the most celebrated genealogy and mother in all of history. The writer of Hebrews keeps calling him a man, and so even if it could be Christ, it would be the human side of Christ complete with beginning, parents, and genealogy. As speculative as the early church fathers sometimes were, most of them agreed that Melchizedek was a man and not Christ. What has happened is that we have forgotten how to interpret the Bible typologically, that is, in terms of types. Clearly, the writer of Hebrews is using a kind of interpretation well known by the ancient world, the ancient church, and the church up until the time of the Reformation. In typology, a person or thing is a type or prototype for the antitype or true thing that is to come. In this way, the entire Old Testament with its covenant, law, priests, temple, and sacrifices are all types of Christ. The writer of Hebrews is using Melchizedek as only a part of his larger typological interpretation, that Jesus Christ is superior to angels, Aaron, and the Old Covenant. Perhaps a better name for this typological interpretation is Christological interpretation. See, your Sunday school teacher was right after all. The answer is always Jesus Christ. Oh dear, I've spent my whole time talking about speculations about who Melchizedek might be, and very little time in talking about who Jesus Christ is. I've taken my eyes off of Jesus, who is the real point of chapter 7, and who is my high priest. When reading the fascinating parts of the Bible, or any part of the Bible, the goal is not to get hung up on endless speculations or to go off on tangents. These have their place in Bible study, but Bible study is not always a form of worship or devotion. Too often we allow our Bible study to turn into games of trivial pursuit or intellectual or imaginative exercises, and we miss Jesus Christ. If we come to this fascinating passage in Hebrews 7 and leave it without having encountered Jesus Christ, but only his type Melchizedek, then we have missed the point. As great as Melchizedek was, typologically the point is that it is Jesus Christ who is the King of Righteousness and the Prince of Peace. It is Jesus Christ who is our High Priest who intercedes for us and who remains a priest forever who has sacrificed for us. It is Jesus Christ who was begotten and not made. And it is Jesus Christ to whom Abraham and Aaron and Melchizedek and all of us must bow our knees in worship.
This has been a presentation of Always with Christ Radio in the Anglican Way.